Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
When we read Psalm 100, where it says, enter my gates with thanksgiving and my courts with praise.
Yes.
It's like gates and courts. Well, that's a picture of the temple where God's presence was.
Jason Benham on Focus on the Family Minute sharing this tip to improve your marriage.
We start with thanksgiving to God, and it ushers us into His presence where His power is. Mm. Now, incorporate that into your relationships. If you think appreciative thoughts and thoughts of gratitude and thankfulness towards your spouse, and you just randomly think those things, what happens is your brain releases a hormone called oxytocin and dopamine. Dopamine is a feel-good chemical. Oxytocin is a bonding chemical. The person that you're thinking thankful thoughts toward, it bonds you to them. And when you express those thoughts, it releases oxytocin and dopamine in their brains and bonds them to you.
More from Jason Benham and his wife Tori at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles. Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online. DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. And I hope you're all staying cozy and warm after that very rainy little interlude we had this weekend, which was very welcome. Anyway, today we are not going to have a guest. There is a lot to discuss about California politics, and much of it might have not even hit your radar because it is kind of inside baseball. A lot, you know, major outlets did not pick up some of these stories. So I think it's worth reviewing all of them so we can get started. And of course, if you have any questions, please call in 238-5775, 238-KPRL. It's been a while since I've been getting callers, so I miss you guys. Love your feedback. Anyway, first things first, we have got to discuss while Gavin Newsom is jetlining and ziplining in Brazil or whatever he's doing, signing some pact about climate change and wildfires that makes no sense. His former top staffer, Dana Williamson, has been federally indicted. And we are going to unpack that first. Then we are going to discuss the latest findings in responsibility for the Palisades fire. And we are also going to touch on the lawsuit that seems like it could really unravel all the trans madness and the gender insanity in our schools. I mentioned it briefly a few weeks ago, but last week there was some really big news and I didn't get a chance to discuss it last week. So bringing it up now. And just a reminder, it's the case that we've talked about before. Two San Diego teachers were told that they had to secretly transition kids behind their parents' back. Escondido, rather, not San Diego, but close enough. And they miraculously got a judge who really saw clearly. He was a George W. Bush appointee, and he really saw the issues clearly, and he was not afraid to actually hold the Newsom administration to account. This is unusual because most of these lawsuits have been going to state judges who have all been appointed by Democratic insiders, or not Democratic insiders, the top of the party, Newsom and Jerry Brown, and have been basically doing what the state wanted them to do. And if we have any room after that, there is a lot of really shady stuff going on in our state that I think everyone needs to know about. I feel like there has been this big shrug of indifference since Trump was elected for what is still really affecting us. And we have to remember that the state issues affect us far more than the federal issues. And state policies affect us far more. And should Trump go away, all of these policies will remain and could be supercharged, particularly if Newsom or any other Democrat gets an office, as we saw under Biden. So it's really important to stay alert. And it's important to really, really care. I mean, we saw that with, I can't even remember what it was called, the ballot initiative a few weeks ago, which disenfranchised Republicans even further in this state. And it could have just been really easily won if 4 million Republicans had bothered to vote, but they didn't bother to vote. So I don't know what it will take to really push people to get involved and stop just complaining. But anyway, I know none of you are those people. I know all of you vote and do your civic duty. So anyway, let's start with the scandal in Sacramento that Gavin Newsom is very much not talking about and is in fact avoiding by trotting off to Brazil. So it's the federal indictment of Dana Williamson, his former chief of staff. The name won't be familiar to anyone really outside Sacramento politics. She was a major figure when I was covering Sacramento for Politico and beyond. She was known as kind of a bully, and she was just so well connected. So she was an advisor to Jerry Brown. She was an advisor to former Attorney General Javier Becerra, who then became HHS Secretary under Biden and kind of oversaw all those hundreds of thousands of kids being trafficked and disappeared over the border. He is now running for governor and considered a viable candidate. She was also a campaign consultant for our current Attorney General, Rob Bonta. She was credited as the former chief of staff to Gavin Newsom. She was his top guy, apparently, you know, and this was very much seen day to day. But if he was out of town, she was calling the shots. She was his right-hand guy. She was credited as a mentor to one of Gavin Newsom's most obnoxious comms staffers, who uses his taxpayer-funded salary to hurl obscenities and insults at anyone who critiques the governor, any Californian. And she, while she was chief of staff, everyone was basically saying, well, she was the one who picked LaFonza Butler, who was a Maryland resident, whom Newsom appointed to complete Dianne Feinstein's Senate term after Dianne Feinstein died in office. She was the one who picked her. Yeah, you know, she was very powerful on the inside. But she was also very powerful on the outside, leveraging all kinds of contacts because she was kind of a go-to. She was very much part of helping and boosting the soft on crime transformation of our state. She was called in as a consultant in 2017 for a group that we've covered here called Smart Justice California. It was a group founded by some progressive billionaire and millionaire wives who were really committed to emptying prisons and lowering criminal penalties. penalties, and especially electing very, very progressive district attorneys like George Gascon in LA, Chase Abudin in San Francisco, and Pamela Price in Oakland, all of whom led to disastrous outcomes and crime spikes in those cities. So she was very much a part of that. She helped lead the charge last year to sabotage Proposition 47, which sought to repeal the harms of Prop 36. As you all know, we've talked about that a whole lot. That was the deceptively worded ballot initiative from 2014 that basically has allowed retail theft and stopped, really, really stopped cops from being able to arrest offenders and thieves and even repeat thieves. So there was actually, this was last year during all the high shenanigans that Gavin Newsom's office was pulling to try to stop Prop 47 from getting to the ballot office, a ballot where she was very rude in how she spoke to the proponents, the District Attorney Association, which was really pushing for Prop 47 because they were seeing the harms on the ground. And she was basically, she just, yes, she was, she wrote to the head of the District Attorneys Association during negotiations, no one wants to work with you. She said, the consultants you're working with haven't won anything in a decade. Good luck. Anyway, that's kind of the nice way she spoke to people. She also led public affairs for PG&E, which, as you know, has been a huge corporate donor for Gavin Newsom, has been let off by Gavin Newsom from financial responsibility for the Paradise Fire, and just the rampant price hikes that have been inflicted on us Californians by PG&E. She also was a public affairs official running point for Meta or Facebook and Comcast. So, yes, you get the picture. She was a very, very big deal for Jerry Brown, Gavin Newsom, Javier Becerra, Rob Bonta, and all these very intertwined corporate, corporate entities who very much help run things in California. So anyway, so this indictment, the investigation apparently started under the Biden administration. So while they're calling this, there's certain people in the Williamson camp are calling this a weaponization of the DOJ. The investigation did start with some whistleblowers back a couple of years ago. The allegations, interestingly enough, all dovetail in the around the time she was Gavin Newsom's chief of staff in the last couple of years, from 2022 to 2024. The indictment has all kinds of allegations. So she's accused of falsely claiming more than $1.7 million in business expenses on her taxes that she used to purchase a $15,000 Chanel handbag and earrings, a chartered jet trip, a nearly $170,000 birthday trip to Mexico. She is also accused of conspiring to retroactively create fake contracts to get PPP loans for her company. And her co-conspirators also include kind of who's who of political connected people in Sacramento. So they include Alexis Podesta. She was the secretary of California's Business, Consumer Services and Housing Agency under Jerry Brown and Gavin Newsom. In 2020, Newsom appointed this Alexis Podesta to the State Compensation Insurance Fund Board of Directors. And Podesta also previously worked for Dianne Feinstein. Let's see. And Podesta kind of comes up in one really interesting tidbit in the indictment, where she's accused of trying to help out, using her post at the governor's office to try to help out a former corporate client, Activision, which is a gaming company. And she is accused of directly lying to the FBI about this. And yes, it is from a time when she was in Newsom's office and really, you know, running the show too, because when Newsom was out of town, she was calling the shots. She was seen as very much the string puller in his office. So anyway, Alexis Podesta, the co-conspirator named, well, not named in the complaint, but people figured it out. Press confirmed it. She told Podesta, who was her close friend and mentee and had taken over some of her clients when she moved into the governor's office, that she had directed a high-level government attorney to settle litigation against Activision. This is according to the indictment. And sure enough, by the end of the year, California, which had been suing Activision Blizzard for some corporate malfeasance, California ended its case against that company. It did require it to pay a $54 million fine, but not admit any wrongdoing. And Dana Williamson also, according to the complaint, boasted to Alexis Podesta about an attorney involved in the case getting fired. The federal charging documents don't name the person who was seeking a public records request about how Williamson and others may have affected or swayed the state's case against Activision. But basically there were supposedly this whistleblower filed public records request trying to figure out if Dana Williamson was using her influence in the governor's office to benefit her former client. And Williamson kind of mocked this request, and Podesta replied, F her, meaning the whistleblower who was trying to get this request in. According to a transcription of the secretly recorded June 2024 conversation between Williamson and Podesta, which is noted in the indictment, Podesta went on to say they don't really know who they're messing with. And Williamson replied, they really don't. It's bad for them. So that's a little tidbit. Anyway, it's worth reading this indictment. It kind of gives you a really good glimpse into just the workings of these public officials of ours. There also involves stealing campaign money from Javier Becerra, some of his staffers. So anyway, really great stuff. Interestingly, this was a little tidbit not included in the indictment, but was uncovered by Jen Van Laer, who is an investigative reporter with Red State. She is really, really good at combing through property records to find things. She uncovered all kinds of things about Gavin Newsom, including that he was delinquent on his property taxes for one of his former houses. So anyway, she looked up some property records and found out that Dana Williamson purchased a very spectacular home for almost about $1.7 million in August of last year, taking out a $765,000 mortgage. the listing of this house reads, spectacular renovation, located on coveted, redacted neighborhood, walkable to the American River Parkway. This quintessential California contemporary features bespoke crafted materials and tremendous scale throughout. Great open floor plan. The interiors are flooded with natural light, creating an indoor-outdoor haven with three guest rooms, chef's kitchen with Calcutta marble and white oak floors throughout, coffee bar, family room, dining area, and a large bonus flex room, all on the main floor. Upstairs, you will find an expansive primary suite featuring dual walk-in closets and a spa-like bath. Every space is designed for comfort. The private backyard features the perfect outdoor entertaining space with a pool and an additional side yard large enough for the ADU of your dreams. Oversized four-car garage with side entry, steps away from the water and trails. This is the perfect home for the adventure seeker. So that was the house she bought last year while all of this was going on. So I will say the other interesting tidbit was she was last year, and I was still a reporter for the Free Beacon, so I remember this at the time. She stepped out of Gavin Newsom's office and was replaced, and that was kind of quiet at the time. And the governor's office is now claiming they asked her to leave her post after hearing about the investigation, but they did not disclose that at the time. They also gave her this glowing review on her exit, talking her up as very, you know, an amazing staffer. So anyway, that is what is going on, and it's not really being covered nationally at all. It's considered very much an insidery case, and because there have been no charges going higher up to Gavin Newsom or Javier Becerra or any of the higher power players, it's really not getting a whole lot of play. But obviously there are a lot of questions about what Gavin Newsom knew and when. Alrighty, well, we are about to break for some messages from our sponsors, and when we come back, I'm going to review the updates of the big transing kids in our schools case that could really unravel some of California's really devastating policies. So stay with us. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero. The best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care. All your vehicle needs. Everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. The House is moving closer to a vote to force the Justice Department to release its files related to late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says the congressional action would not be necessary if President Trump ordered the files released.
People ask the question, what's he hiding? It's got to be answered by releasing the files.
Now, President Trump has asked the Justice Department to probe the Epstein files.
Federal prosecutors there are looking at Epstein's ties, but not to President Trump. Instead, it relates to his ties to former President Bill Clinton, former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, and others.
That's Fox's David Spont. The U.S. immigration agents have arrested more than 130 people in a weekend bust in North Carolina's largest city. The action was taken over the objections of many local leaders in Charlotte. America's listening to Fox News.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385. 805-460-7385.
Hi, everyone. everyone, and welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. Okay, I should have probably saved this for the last segment of the show because I'll get into some depressing news later on, but let's just kind of lighten things up with this good news. So, the case we are talking about, and I know that I discussed it on the show at the time when it was first argued, is from 2023. So there were two teachers. It was the first case involving teachers. You know, other cases that we've seen, and there has been another teacher since who was fired actually for saying she wouldn't let male students in her in female locker rooms for PE and wouldn't lie to parents. But this was kind of the first one. So these two teachers, they are Christians, they are women, they taught in the Escondido School District. And in 2023, they sued the district saying that they were being told they had to lie to parents. And the lawsuit included some really amazing details, and I'll just touch on some of them now. I know I've reviewed them before, but it was just kind of amazing because they asked all the questions of administrators at this district. You know, what if parents ask us directly? You stonewall them. You do not say anything. If parents say, you know, is my child identifying as a different sex or as a non-sex, whatever they may be doing. And then they included emails from administrators. I think it was from a counselor maybe, but basically the staff was sending regular emails updating teachers on the list of students who were identifying as something other than who they were. And I think all but one was, they were told to keep it all hush hush. Parents didn't know, keep it that way. So really, really amazing. And these women were, were invoking their First Amendment right to not lie to parents. They were put on leave. And in came an unexpected hero in the form of a district judge who's based in California. As I mentioned earlier in the show, he was a George W. Bush appointee, so he's been around some time. His name is Roger Benitez. And he kind of got the issues right away. And he told, initially, he said, you know, I have to keep this whole policy by the state of California. I didn't, you know, sounds insane. It sounds blatantly unconstitutional, but I can't really deal with it in the scope of this complaint. All I can do is deal with, you know, these two teachers who are suing. This is a narrow case. But he basically asked for a vehicle to make a wider ruling on it. And it was really interesting during arguments at this time, Rob Bonta, our attorney general, was basically saying, oh, you know, we're not really enforcing this policy. The teachers have to lie, even though, you know, we know that's California policy. And they were telling all the schools that it was policy and they were suing. Starting with Chino Valley, they were suing schools that were trying to make it, you know, make it just ban teachers from lying to parents about kids' secret identities. So anyway, this was a couple of years old. And then the lawyers started recruiting more plaintiffs for this case, so extending beyond Escondido, and teachers, parents, others joined the case. It is now a class action lawsuit. I don't know if you can still get involved at this point, but it is a much wider class action law case at this point. So it became a much bigger deal. And then Attorney General Bonta, who is a very big supporter of these policies, tried to get the case thrown out. And his arguments were that the FAQ page, which the Department of Education had put up, and this FAQ page was, yes, it wasn't technically law, but it was this guidance that the state was claiming all schools had to follow. And this guidance said that teachers and schools had to transition kids secretly. This was a big thing. And they said, but it did disappear. It kind of reappeared in much softer wording somewhere else, but the state kind of succeeded in getting it kind of off the website where it had been very prominently posted, and so people couldn't really see it. Last Monday, and I had been aware of this. I was told that this was happening Friday, but it hadn't been broken yet. But then they found out that the state mandated teacher training continued to tell teachers that they had to secretly transition kids and lie to parents. And anyway, Judge Benitez was not happy about this because Bonta had told him in court documents that, oh no, the state is not pushing this. We've removed the guidance. This case has no standing. While all along, there's this intense 6-part training program, and it is kind of the product of some of the most extreme gender organizations, including the Trevor Project, that says, you know, teachers have to do this. Well, on Friday, so Benitez called Bonta out, was not happy, and Bonta said, oh no, this is an innocent mistake. This training was under the radar. And then, you know, miraculously, the web pages for this training immediately get taken down and removed. However, California Family Council discovered that in a press release on November 13th, just a day before he filed his court documents saying, oh no, I didn't know about this PRISM training, Bonta sent out a press release doubling down on the policy of transitioning kids secretly. So let me read from that press release. The press release says it's under the California Attorney General's website, so taxpayer funded, and it's under LGBTQ rights. And it says, you have the right to disclose or not to disclose your gender identity on your own terms, regardless of your age. Your school, whether public or private, does not have the right to out you as LGBTQ to anyone without your permission, including your parents. It goes on to say, this means that even if you are out about your sexual orientation or gender identity at school, if you're not out to your parents at home and you can reasonably expect that they're not going to find out, the school staff can't tell your family that you are LGBTQ without your permission. So anyway, yes, he posted that the day before this court filing saying, oh no, this isn't policy. So anyway, that's a pretty amazing development, and it just shows, you know, they're so used to lying and not being held accountable for lying that maybe they just didn't think this was a big deal or it would get found out. So anyway, this is a case to watch. It is a federal case, so it will involve policies like this in other blue states if it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court. But right now, it is not looking so good for our state leaders. And it's interesting because this was a case, you know, you think the parent cases are the ones that are going to take off, but the other parent case that went to a federal judge, it was a mother suing a district up north for secretly transitioning her daughter, and she got a progressive judge who sided with the school district. And that case is still moving forward, but this case has really just snowballed. And the fact that it's a class action lawsuit at this point, so schools, parents from districts all up and down the state are getting pulled in. And as I said, this is federal, so the state appointed judges, I should say Democratic supermajority and governor approved judges who would go along with this agenda have nothing to do with it. So it's a very big deal and one to watch. All righty. So now we will get into some of our other California news. So one thing that I wanted to, I'll start with the one that makes me the most, gets me the most nervous. You may have heard of it. I actually had not. It happened so undercover. I think this is one of the actions that started in 2020 when everything was about redistributive reparations justice, very race-based policymaking that was supposed to really undercut, I guess, white Californians in the name of equity. So there was a commission established by Gavin Newsom called Agricultural Equity. And the work of this commission is now underway. And they're actually finalizing recommendations that would involve the state redistributing farmland to non-white Californians and Native American tribes through land transfers, as well as giving taxpayer money to racial minorities only. This commission is called the California Agricultural Land Equity Task Force. It falls under Gavin Newsom's Office of Land Use and Climate Innovation, so apparently under his climate change agenda. And the policy recommendations are to, quote, equitably increase agricultural land access. The final report is due to the governor and the California legislature, which, as you know, is pretty hostile towards agriculture in general, to cement these recommendations by the end of the year. So the latest draft report of the task force, and it was published in August, so it's a few months old at this point, calls to deploy taxpayer money to give non-white Californians a leg up in acquiring farmland. It frames this effort as a form of reparations. The report says that California should basically hand vast amounts of state parks to Native Americans and then adopt indigenous knowledge practices for its land management. The state would also is also being pushed to give low interest taxpayer funded loans, as well as down payments and grants for Black farmers in particular to buy farmland. And they say that this will help solve California's so-called, quote, agricultural land equity crisis, because apparently it is highly discriminatory that most California farmland is owned by producers who identify as white. So, you know, anyone, the generational farmers of California who are barely hanging on kind of all know what that means. Anyway, here's a quote from the task force. It says, quote, "The wealth of the U.S., including that of its agriculture industry, has been built on stolen land and the forced labor of California tribal nations, enslaved African Americans," reminder, California never had slavery, "and other exploited communities who have been systemically excluded from land ownership and wealth building opportunities. Addressing these past and continuing harms requires active efforts to ensure that all people have secure and affordable access to viable land for the care and cultivation of food, fiber, medicine, and culturally valuable resources, free from systemic barriers and racial disparities." So anyway, that is coming to Gavin Newsom and the legislature at the end of the year, finalized, and we will see what legislation may come from there. Something to watch. All right, stay with us. We just have a few more minutes to review the last bit of our stories for the day. You're listening to Free Talk California.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The sell-off continues on Wall Street, a choppy trading session with the major averages lower and the Dow falling sharply for a third straight session as investors continue to worry about lofty AI valuations and future interest rate cuts. This week, AI giant Nvidia will release earnings after the market closes on Wednesday, and it will test the sustainability of the rally this year in AI-related stocks. Its stock fell nearly 2% today. However, shares of Google parent Alphabet popping 3% in a down market after Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway revealed a new stake in the tech giant. The Dow winners Amgen, Johnson & Johnson, and Walmart. The Dow decliners American Express, Goldman Sachs, and IBM. The Dow down 557 points. The Nasdaq lower by 193. S&P 500 down 62. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
If your cash is sitting in a savings account, it's at risk. Old school advice says save more, but today the strategy is broken. When inflation spikes, they print money or cut rates, your dollar shrinks. So do your savings. The solution? Own something real. Physical gold and silver. When the dollar drops, gold and silver prices rise. And with Noble Gold, owning gold is simple. Just visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and chat with a specialist. The knowledge is free. The protection is priceless. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult your financial advisor before making investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Welcome to Did You Know by the Friday Group. Did you know renewed fear campaigns about COVID are circulating? Two California counties have already brought back mask mandates. Fear once gave government the excuse to shut churches, isolate families, and monitor citizens. Later, evidence showed it was a false flag for control, not protection. So ask yourself, who benefited from your compliance last time? The more you know, the better California can do. This ad paid for by the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County.
Hi, welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. So very quickly, before I go into my next Newsom story, I want to bring up the Palisades fire. It's a story I've not really been covering since I left the Washington Free Beacon, but there have been developments that are very, very interesting. And they kind of came to... They're kind of coming to public awareness because of a former reality star named Spencer Pratt, who was, I completely forgotten about him. I remember him and his wife. He and his wife were big names when I was much younger, embarrassingly long ago, but completely forgot about him. But he has become a very vociferous Newsom critic to the point where Newsom's office derides him as a C-list celebrity that people shouldn't listen to after he lost his home in the Palisades fire. And he just has kind of taken to social media and started recording videos that have gone viral and have brought whistleblowers forward. So just a few points. So back in October, federal prosecutors revealed that the Palisades fire was in fact sparked by a blaze that had started days earlier around New Year's Eve. And it was not only never fully put out, but it was just kind of left. And so that raises big questions of accountability that so far LA Mayor Karen Bass and our Governor Gavin Newsom have been doing their best to avoid. Well, one interesting thing about this is, you know, there were lawsuits filed by residents for what happened. Most residents have not been able to go back. There are, you know, 90-year-olds. There's a 94-year-old Holocaust survivor who hasn't been able to get the permits to rebuild. There are a lot of older, you know, 90-plus-year-olds who are on fixed incomes. They couldn't afford to go through the process and rebuild, so they're just out. They're out of their beautiful homes that they have lived in their whole lives and stuck in horrible apartments in the middle of the city just to live out their final years. So, you know, this is still a very live issue, as the people of Paradise, California can attest, because many of them still don't have their homes. And how many years ago was that? So anyway, there are lawsuits filed, and there have been replies by both Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom. And I just want to bring this up because it's first, Gavin Newsom's legal response to the Palisades fire lawsuit stated that there was no indication of any flame, smoke, or smoldering embers from January 2nd up to the rekindling on January 7th that led to the Palisades fire. And yet there is video evidence of the fire, the Lachman fire on Topanga State Park property that is the responsibility of the state, was still smoldering. And the other really interesting note, I mean, there were lots of gems in these replies from Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom, but they're both basically saying that state legislation has freed them of accountability for any burning that might have happened. So they're basically, you know, no argument that maybe they're not at fault. But here's the quote from Gavin Newsom's reply. It says, except as otherwise provided by statute, public entities are not liable for a tortious injury, whether such injury arises out of an act or omission of the public entity or a public employee or any other person. So that's their case. Oh, the laws have made us so we're not really accountable for something that we're probably accountable for. So anyway, that is a lawsuit to watch. All right, just in our last few minutes, I do want to touch on the story about oil drilling off of potential oil drilling off of California's coast. So Gavin Newsom, as I mentioned earlier, as I discussed the scandal surrounding his former chief of staff, he has been jetting around Brazil, and he said, because Donald Trump said that he wants to open up offshore drilling in California's federal waters to meet energy demands, Gavin Newsom said, no, that idea is dead on arrival. However, California is relying on more and more imported oil from authoritarian countries like Iraq and Saudi Arabia. In fact, since Newsom has taken office, the share of our oil that is imported from other countries, so obviously that adds costs, has spiked to 63%. So anyway, let's just unpack this a little bit because you may have to argue about this with people. But basically, the federal government hasn't held an offshore oil lease in California for over 30 years. And, you know, as we know, they are trying to push this exorbitantly expensive taxpayer-funded behemoth, a boondoggle of offshore wind, which is even far more environmentally devastating and requires wide-scale industrialization of our rural shores, including here in Morro Bay in Cambria. But yes, but oil drilling is dead on arrival, according to Newsom. And Newsom's claim that it's dead on arrival, this idea of the federal lease for oil drilling, you know, would probably help us all out. We have some of the nation's highest gasoline and electricity prices. And a lot of that is due directly to Newsom policies and laws passed that have made it very hard for companies to produce and refine oil here. So, yeah, so about 64%, just under 64% of our oil is now imported from foreign nations. Imports actually hit an all-time high earlier this year. So where is our oil coming from? In 2024, Iraq was the largest foreign supplier of our oil, sending us about 68 million barrels. That's according to state data that was uncovered by my former Free Beacon colleague, Thomas Catanacci. Obviously, Iraq doesn't really have many environmental laws governing its oil industry, so you know, it's not really helping the environment there. They have all kinds of oil spills that have contaminated large swaths of Iraqi farmland that used to be very productive. Brazil, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates, as well as Colombia, has also been sending us significant amounts of oil. Last year, these countries sent us a lot of oil, while, ironically enough, Newsom was entering climate agreements with some of these very nations, including Brazil and Colombia. So anyway, the same countries that we are depending on for very much less regulated oil are somehow in these climate agreements with us. Newsom this week also struck a climate deal. I don't even know what that means, what it entails, with Nigeria. We get tens of millions of barrels from Nigeria, or we have under Newsom. And yes, the share of foreign oil that we have been having to import, even as our costs have increased and our production has slowed, has risen from 58% to, as I said, almost 64% since Newsom took office in 2019. Obviously, as we all know and can see, the oil that's produced here has fallen about 7 percentage points, from nearly 30% down to 23%. And total oil production in the state has declined 30%, from 156 million barrels a year to 109 million barrels a year. That's a pretty startling number. Then on top of the oil production, there have also been the regulations for oil refinery, which has pushed oil refineries to close and actually has Newsom panicking and now trying to do something to keep the last refineries from closing because our gas will skyrocket even more. And as we all know, he's running for president and doesn't want that on his record. Alrighty, that's all we have for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will see you next week. You're listening to Free Talk California. Stay dry out there.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.